10 p.m.
Again, that's the Surf Riders Summer Soiree on July 17th. More information may be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 1st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Just because we have neglected it for such a long time, I want to make a brisk dash through the weather because it's going to be hot this week, and it's something it's important to know about. So it is indeed sunny and hot, highs around 98, and windy, which makes it much worse. Northeast winds 10 to 15, gusting up to 24, measuring. That sucks every ounce of moisture out of everything, so guard your gardens well. And tonight, mostly clear with the lows around 64. The wind rising up again in the morning. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, temperatures dropping back a bit to 83, and winds also dropping down. And for Wednesday night, a little bit of cloud, a few clouds moving in, and a low around 57. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, highs to 74. And Thursday night, overcast, lows around 54. And for your 4th of July, it is 76 degrees and partly sunny. Partly cloudy overnight, lows around 55. And that's it for weather for this week. Moving straight into the matter at hand, and that of course is the arrest of of Marjorie Milson, taken to Multnomah County Detention Center and booked on trespassing, disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, all of which are misdemeanors. Let's though look at this very carefully. I want to mention this as much as often as possible, because I walk around and see people who are living in a world that is dominated essentially by the USA Patriot Act. It has been for a long time now. People seem to have that de-zombified look on their faces. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to admit that this is one of the chief controlling, chief operators of our lives these days. And it used to be that for activists, getting arrested was a pretty pedestrian, mundane thing. It happened pretty much every weekend. It was nothing to really to worry about. We got arrested, and frequently there were actions taking place frequently everywhere. These days, under the USA Patriot, even though we don't talk about it, even though we live in a sort of catatonia, a post-Patriot Act state of catatonia, nonetheless, getting arrested these days is serious business very often, even for misdemeanors. It's no fun. It hurts. And it intentionally makes it hurt. Many cases, actions which in the past used to be looked upon with mild irritation on the part of law enforcement, now, of course, being turned into crimes, taking pictures of various agricultural facilities, that sort of thing. It's a crime to do anything about GMOs. It's a crime to protest anything that the corporate interests take into their head. They don't want you to protest. The collaboration between the corporate interests, of course, and government is pretty much a done deal. So welcome to the brave new world of the USA Patriot Act. Time to wake up, isn't it, and find out that what we thought was around us as our normal environment. Actually, there are bars everywhere and barbed wire as far as the eye can see. We're speaking this morning with David. He's one of the local organizers with Portland Rising Tide. Good morning, David. We'll be speaking with him in just a minute. And we'll be speaking, of course, about the arrest that took place. Milson locked herself, for those who haven't heard of this yet, locked herself to a 54-gallon barrel filled with concrete that was placed at the, on the railroad tracks leading into Arc Logistics crude oil terminal in northwest Portland. According to a press release from Rising Tide, it was an effort to protest the transport of crude oil through Portland. And meanwhile, Governor Kitzhaber still dreams of trains rumbling through tunnels. Is it okay to say that on the air? Benton County officials have identified four main options for the short-term future of the Bailey Branch. It's a former rail line that runs between Corvallis and Monroe, the county. And the county bought the unused 18-mile corridor last year, using a federal law designed to maintain a rail line's abandoned right-of-way with an interim public trail use. It's a process known as rail banking. The county's purchase covers the 11-mile, 60-foot-wide corridor. We wonder what's going to happen with that strip of rail line. And my guess is it might get somehow incorporated into the proposed network of rail lines carting oil to the coast. Running through, of course, a thicket of laws which will be swept aside, bent and or discarded altogether. Environmental protections one by one falling by the wayside, as are so many other laws and protections that we once had faith in. Although there is a brighter side, fracking, it turns out that individual towns are able to decide whether or not they want fracking in their communities. We have other Supreme Court decisions already this week that are going to have long-range, far-reaching ramifications throughout society, which many people barely recognize. This culture is only faintly recognizable. No one who had any experience of the past in this country would recognize it any longer. And of course, we return just as President Obama has used the War Powers Act to send more so-called advisors. Remember the advisors who went to Vietnam? He's sending more advisors, of course, into Iraq, firing up a war we never should have been in the first place. And at the same time, a federal appeals court has revived a lawsuit against CACI International that accuses a defense contractor, it's a huge defense contractor, his employees of directing the torture of detainees at Abu Ghraib. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, not known for its liberal decisions, said a lower court judge had erred in concluding he lacked jurisdiction to hear these claims by four Iraqi plaintiffs because the alleged incidents occurred in, wait for it, Iraq. And yesterday's decision has the legal liability for contractors who work with and undertake sensitive tasks on behalf of U.S. troops outside the country. So this is going to have, we'll see how that affects things going forward. Not to mention the fact that, of course, the torture continues at various black sites around the world, even as we report this. And Oregon State University released a study yesterday that probably raised a nostalgic eyebrow, a sentimental tear, but should have caused white-knuckled terror. When bees, pollinators are gone, humankind won't be far behind. There's a country and western song in there somewhere trying to get out, I fear. In any case, the study came out and the news is not good. One in five of the state's commercial honeybee colonies didn't survive the winter. And losing 10 to 15% of colonies is considered sustainable. But Oregon State entomologist Bunges Sengli says, but Oregon's die-off rate last winter was 21.1%. That not only kills off the bees, it kills off beekeepers as well. The whole long chain of events is trending towards extinctions of species at a quickening rate. In Pennsylvania, the fracking boom, well, let's leave that for later because we've got David on the line with Rising Tide to talk about the action and what it actually means. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. You've been very patient. We do have more headlines. This is a heavy day for headlines. Well, there was an arrest and an action where Rising Tide was making it very clear that we need to stop these trains from rolling through Cascadia. Why? What's the significance of this action? Getting arrested these days, as we said earlier in the program, is serious business, more so now than perhaps ever before. And we always ask ourselves, what would it take? What would push us far enough to take the risks that are involved?
Yesterday we had someone who blockaded the tracks of ARC Logistics, which is an oil-by-rail terminal that is operating here in Portland already, actually. And so she locked herself to a concrete barrel on some of the feeder tracks into that facility and kind of shut it down for 4 hours. And I mean, we think this is really important, and I think part of what we're trying to bring is that, you know, this issue of fossil fuel infrastructure development, fossil fuel terminals in the Northwest has kind of gone on long enough, and we really need to make sure that we stop these things. We don't see how we can continue to try and address the climate crisis without reducing our fossil fuel use. And so that should mean that we have no new extraction, no new infrastructure, no new pipelines, no new oil by rail terminals or anything like that. And this rhetoric that has increasingly been had, and it's good to see that there's a debate about the oil by rail terminals and the oil train cars in the media, but we think it's happening in a really faulty way. The discussion and the governor's contributing to this, as well as a variety of other folks, in asking the question, how do we make these oil trains safe? And part of what we wanted to say yesterday with our action was that these oil trains can never be safe, not only because of the dangers that they pose in transportation, but also because of the climate impacts that they have, and that they can never be safe for those reasons, and that we cannot build them in our communities.
They're not safe because they're carrying oil in the first place. That's the issue. That's the thing, is that people forget. It seems that legislators and particularly the governor have lost sight of the fact that we were speaking originally about fossil fuels and the extraordinary cost to future generations, if indeed we have future generations. But the very fact that it's terrible that oil trains would roll through people's communities, but it shouldn't happen at all. How do we get back to talking about the real issue here, which is the use of fossil fuels, and this continued gleeful rhetoric? Oh, we found so much more oil, isn't it wonderful? We found it right here. How do we restore sanity to this dialogue, to the conversation?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that need to be done, and folks need to find things that are appropriate for them to take action in. I mean, Rising Tide obviously believes that one of our roles, one of the things that we really believe is important and that we do, is to use nonviolent direct action and civil disobedience to kind of really bring these issues into focus, to kind of clarify what we're talking about here, and to kind of make a strong statement and really, really bring forth the kind of moral and value-based issues that are really at stake here. through that kind of action. So that's something that we're doing. If that's something that folks are interested in being involved in, they can certainly get in touch and get connected to our group. But I think that the other thing that we need to be doing in all of our conversations and with whatever kinds of groups, so there's a lot of groups that are working on the fossil fuel terminal issues, and I think that we constantly need to be pushing to change the dialogue so that what we're working with is a kind of message that we have to keep these fossil fuels in the ground, and that becomes the only thing that is acceptable. It becomes the only thing that is politically acceptable, so that you cannot get elected anywhere for anything unless you take a position that fossil fuels, new fossil fuels that are discovered or anything like that, must be kept in the ground, and we need to start to decrease our fossil fuel use. And from there, we'll figure out the million different ways that we need to reorganize our society to have a less fossil fuel intensive society. But that's going to be a long and complicated process that we should all participate in to figuring out how it goes. But in order to get there, we need to start by leaving the fossil fuels in the ground. That means no new fossil fuel infrastructure. That means no oil by rail terminals. That means no coal or gas terminals, which are also proposed in this region. I think that a lot of folks can do a lot of things to make sure that we're talking about that when we're engaging in conversations about climate change.
David, thank you so much. I'm heartened and indeed inspired. And we all want to note, too, that it's important to stand in solidarity with Irene Marjorie Milson, who, a very young person of great courage, who took her beliefs to the limit and is arrested for that. Thanks again for that, David. This has been Air Cascadia for July 1st, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Obama nominates a corporate insider to be the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Also, the Supreme Court limits the collective voice of Illinois' home care workers and sharply restricts access to reproductive health care for women. Sean Penn continues to blunder into Haitian political affairs while Aristide's enemies continue their vendetta against Lavalas. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned.